Us idiots picked a day after Halloween to be recording.
I don't understand what's wrong.
I'm a little hungover.
Oh.
I think it's a combo of the alcohol and the sugar just convulsing in my body in quite a manner.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Plus, I had a child this morning, like, screaming in my face at 7:30 that he wanted his candy.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. And was very mad at me when I told him that wasn't happening. How was Halloween Horror Nights at Universal?
It was fun. We were drunk, because I don't remember a lot of it.
Your time?
I feel like we only did, like, one or two mazes, but we did Butterbeer at Hogwarts. It was awesome.
Because Butterbeer doesn't have alcohol, right?
Oh, it can. It doesn't have it in it, but you can get it with alcohol, and it's delicious.
Because I had, like, a soda bottle, and I've had that. But I've never had it with alcohol.
No, this was delicious. It was, like, I love, that's one of my favorite things to get at Universal Studios, is Butterbeer.
What? And alcohol is in the Butterbeer? Rum?
I think you can get whatever you want, but it's generally Fireball because of the cinnamon flavor.
Oh, okay.
And you add it to it. It's so good. And you can get hot or cold. And since it was cold, I got a hot one. Oh, my God. It was delicious.
That does sound delicious.
So good. It's cool.
I need an apple cider Prosecco Fireball punch.
That sounds good.
For me and my friend while we were walking the kids around. And what I've learned, guys, is I'm not athletic enough to take a three-year-old trick-or-treating.
It does take a certain amount of athleticism.
That I don't possess.
Okay. We also went axe throwing this weekend with my family.
Oh, I saw that.
That was a good time.
I should just come out to LA and hang out with the drivers for a weekend.
It's pretty cool.
I enjoy it. It always looks pretty cool. Axe throw with my
dad set this up. I was surprised because I've been axe throwing before, but I didn't think to tell my family because I didn't know if they'd be into it. And my dad was like, "You guys want to go axe throwing? Do you want to go axe throwing this weekend for axe throwing?" We're like, "Okay." So,
really, Dad has a desire.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
By the way, I love how the screenshot you took for our promo videos. You look so cute, and I'm making some weird-ass duck face.
No, so look, I just noticed that today. It wasn't supposed to be our faces at all. I thought I had uploaded the title card. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, that's a horrible picture. That's been up there for 2 days. So I was like, no. So I changed it. It's changed already. I saw it today. And I was like, shit, I didn't mean to do that.
Telling me she doesn't really like me.
I was like, no, that's not great.
No. For those of you who missed this on our social, Jared looks adorable and I'm making this face.
You're like in the middle of
a deep thought.
I was like, no.
I love how we've given up on even saying the title of the podcast.
Horror Meals. And we did not coordinate this, guys. You can see it. They're wearing matching, they're not totally matching, but they're horror-themed Friends shirts.
Yes.
I will screenshot, or not screenshot, but I'll download the photos and post them to our Instagram so people can see if they're watching the YouTube video. But you should watch the YouTube video. So
you should.
We can start making money.
So this week we're doing Children of the Corn.
Yes.
Loved it. Gotta say, I felt that the storyline and acting held up. The special effects, not so
much. The cartoony cloud.
So, and like I said, I had the pleasure of meeting some of the individuals at Texas Frightmare Weekend. They did a panel. They were lovely. I was able to meet John Franklin. He was just lovely. He plays Isaac, Courtney Gaines, who plays Malachi, and John Philbin, who plays Amos. And also Fritz Kirsch, who was, and Fritz, I do think I mispronounced your last name, and I do apologize, because you were the loveliest of people, one of the nicest guys I've ever met, and he is the director. So as we go through the scenes, I'll tell you some fun stuff that they told us about that. It was fun. How many times had you seen this movie?
Technically this is my third time. I don't know. I haven't been able to, like, fully focus on it. Like, it's just, I don't know. I feel like I'm too lost. Like, I don't get enough answers. We're just kind of dropped into the middle of this situation, and I'm like, I don't get.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was hard. It's hard for me to enjoy it. And it's not that scary for me, so.
And this is why you confuse me. Because you love anthology stories.
Yeah.
And that's my main complaint with an anthology story.
What?
You never get a beginning. You never get an end. You're just dropped in the middle of something happening.
No, but they're little stories. They're little stories that all have a beginning and an end.
No. Did you watch Tales of Halloween?
I've watched it many times.
There are some stories I need more answers to. I'm not going to lie to you.
Actually, my friend who passed away a couple years ago, his friend made that movie. So I watched it with him
very
a while.
Well done.
Yeah.
It is beautifully shot. The acting is great. The lighting is great. The stories are fantastic. There's just a few I would like to have been expounded upon.
Yeah. Heard.
That's fine. What questions do you want answered? Because I've read the short story 4 times too, so.
I don't know, just like it was, I would have liked to have seen them get to that point. Like, it just, that opening is great. Like, it's a very crazy opening. I like that. But then it's like, how did they get to this point? I would have liked to have seen.
Oh, that I don't know. They don't tell.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It's like, it's just, they're just now crazy kids that have decided to kill the adults. And it kind of is like, how did this even come about?
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You never want to kill your parents?
No. Have I wanted to move away from them? Yes. Far, far away.
I'm not saying kill, but I'm saying, like, you know, I guess I've never wanted to kill them either. Definitely move away.
Yeah.
But this is why I think this movie works, right? Because, like, Bert is trying to, like, at the end be like, what are you guys, like, why? And that one girl...
The crazy chick in the backseat.
All the Kool-Aid. Wait, what is her name again? I never remember that poor girl's name.
She was in it to win it.
I could watch this movie 1,000 times. I will never remember that poor girl's name. Just gonna tell you that right now.
Poor boy they run over.
Rachel. Yeah. That is Jonas Marlowe. He plays Joseph. Linda Hamilton, don't know if you've seen a recent picture of her. She looks great.
She's so pretty. I love her
short hair.
I actually love her hair in that movie. It's very cute.
She's just adorable.
Yeah, agreed.
I will say that the movie does better with this in the book because for a portion of it, it is Bert's internal monologue. He, like, calls her a bitch in his head at one point. Like, they ain't.
Oh, no.
Things are not as rosy between them as it is in the movie, which I prefer.
The rosiness or the.
Well, I think in book form, I prefer the not, right? Because we're listening to it.
Yeah.
We're listening to his thoughts, and that's more realistic.
Yeah. You know,
as far as portraying a couple. But. I think the movie does it better because these two, the two little ones, Sarah and John, that's the little one's name? Sarah and Job. They see this loving couple just like their parents were a loving couple. The last thing you see of the father is him lovingly calling the mother to check on her and Sarah. So the fact that this couple is also very loving propels Sarah and Job to trust them even quicker.
Yeah.
So I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what did you think, like, of that opening scene?
I remember I watched it for the first time just a couple years ago, and I was like, whoa, that was intense. And I was like, I need to see this.
Yes.
It's super intense. Yeah.
First of all, John, who I had the pleasure of meeting, who plays Isaac, first of all, he only looks 10 years older now. Like, God bless you, John. The jeans are great. Don't change whatever it is you're doing. If you've got a moisturizing routine, keep it working. And he is mostly theater. And you can see that in a lot of his stuff. Mm-hmm. And just the way he can stare and just chill you to the core. But what I find even more interesting about that scene is that not a single adult in town clocked Isaac standing there. Like, what? Not a single one of you clocked that?
Yeah, and like, when was the whole town in the cafe?
Yes, so, no. Job tells us in the opening sequence that it happened all across Gatlin that morning. So clearly Isaac and Malachi and the one other kid, or there were two kids in the diner.
Yeah.
And so all the other kids were spread out around town.
Yeah. Got it.
We find out later the only reason that they spared the old man is because he was the hookup to the fuel.
Yeah.
Because you wonder that at first. You're like, when you first are introduced to him, you're like, why is this old geezer? Like, even before you meet him, you hear Isaac say to Malachi, go to the old man, make sure he doesn't tell them anything.
Yeah.
So you know that at least one adult is still alive, and you're left to wonder why, which at least that they answer, right? But I got a secondary question for this old man, which we will get to in a little bit. I mean, that is a brutal killing scene. Brutal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're, like, tortured. Like, the hand and the meat slicer thing. I'm like, that's not even going to kill him. That's just going to maim him. I mean, I know the killing's coming, but that's just cruel. Like, why?
We've said this before. One of the reasons Jason is my favorite is because he's not toying with you. He's just lobbing your head off and going.
He should be dead. That's his end game. That's all he's going for.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I love Freddy. I think he's a very funny killer, but he's doing too much for me.
He plays with you, yeah.
It's too. Just kill the people.
Right.
We don't need showmanship here.
Yeah.
He walks behind the rose, I'm sure, doesn't care. I do agree with you that I got some questions. How is a person as tiny as Isaac is somehow able to convince all of these children that he who walks behind the rose speaks to him and only him.
Right.
That's impressive. Honestly, I'm impressed by you. Because Malachi is taking orders from him. And Malachi
is significantly larger.
Well, and interestingly, as you can see in the shots, you can see Malachi slightly bigger, right?
Yeah.
John and Malachi are so, or why can't I never remember?
John and Courtney.
Courtney. John and Courtney are so misheightened in the movie, like especially when they're doing their walk and talks in the rose. Either John was walking along a crate,
yeah,
or they had dug a ditch. And
that's Courtney sure. Was they walking. Do that all the time in movies.
Yeah, thought that was very interesting. Well, like when I, because when
he's 5 foot tall, John is 5 feet tall.
Yes, John is shorter than I.
Yeah.
And Malachi Courtney was significantly taller than me. So, I got to ride in an elevator with him.
Yeah, he's 5'11", so he's almost 6 feet tall.
Yeah. So that was very interesting to note.
And thinking about him lifting him
yeah.
by the throat, physically not possible.
Yeah. Not possible. And then John Philbin, who plays Amos, they kept telling him because it was so cold out that if he wanted to have a shirt in the outdoor scenes that he could. And he was like, nope, I worked out for this. I earned this body. You're all going to see it.
That's great. That's amazing.
He had his shirt on the entire time at TFW, but it looked like he held on to that musculature. So good he came over to our table during karaoke and was hanging out with us and everything. He was lovely.
He's a handsome dude.
He is awesome. I got to tell you, this whole cast aging wonderfully.
Yeah, Courtney. I love Courtney. He's an actor that is in a lot of things, especially in the 80s. Like, Can't Buy Me Love. He was in The Burbs.
The Burbs, yeah.
He's in Sweet Home Alabama, co-starring again with Patrick Dempsey.
Who is he in Sweet Home Alabama? Wait, why can't I?
He's the sheriff friend. He's the best friend, the sheriff friend.
No!
Yeah.
That's him?
Yeah, I always recognize him.
I can picture it now that you said it. I couldn't picture it before. Oh, that's interesting.
I always recognize him. Person,
speaking of Sweet Home Alabama, that's aging beautifully, Jean Smart. She's fantastic.
Oh, God, I love her so much.
Love her.
She can do no wrong. Did you ever watch Samantha Who?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Her as the mom in that show just...
Well, everybody has been saying that she is, and this is my new one to start, fabulous in Hacks. On HBO.
Oh, yes. I've been wanting... I started that. I need to get back to it. It was one of those that I turned on, but then had to turn off for some reason. But I need to get back to it because I love her so much.
Yeah.
She's someone where I'll watch it just because she's in it.
So I do love that... this is a couple just trying to drive. Got lost.
Yeah.
They're
very cute, by the way. Their little opening... Yeah, you're doing happy birthday for him. Like you said, love it, love Rosie. It's very, very cute. Yeah.
And I think what's also great about that is you're juxtapositioning this love and this beautiful relationship against this evil, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's just a beautiful, I love when storylines do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And they unfortunately hit this young man whose throat has been sliced.
Yeah.
And thrown in to the thing. Now, here's my thing. They keep calling these people interlopers.
Yeah.
Malachi made them interlopers. Just keep the dead kid in the corn.
You brought them in. They were going to, yeah.
They were just going to pass through. Now they're trying to get to a police station to help this dead child.
Right.
Unnecessary. I believe that this was Malachi's maybe first attempt or last ditch attempt to overthrow Isaac. Mm. It is not said expressly in the movie, but things that he does later would lead you to believe that that was why he did this.
Yeah.
Was inviting interlopers to invite anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like a man who would get bored with the status quo real quick.
He's a man with a plan, especially by that guy. He's like, this guy, why are we listening to him? I should be in charge.
Well, and he got so mad when Isaac said to send Sarah and Joe back to their house with their games and their music and such. You do not question me.
Yeah.
And Malachi was so, so mad, and he ruffles poor little Sarah, who's just drawing her pictures.
Yeah.
So sad. And then the interlopers meet upon our hapless oil guy who, not a great liar. Here's what you say. Don't say, hey, that town's big on religion. This is what you say. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I know Gatlin's still on the map. However, they had flood, drought, something, people yeah. had to move elsewhere. Nobody lives in that town. Right. Go to blah, blah, blah. That's how you protect the town secret. Yeah. You lie. You just told these people that they're very religious and they don't hearken no strangers. I'm sorry. That's not going to be enough to keep me from getting help for a dead child.
Dead child, yeah.
To stop the murderer. I'm sorry. It's not. I'll deal with a religious kook for an hour.
yeah.
Help to stop a murderer.
Right.
No, you, like even yesterday, people, sometimes lying is okay. And sometimes it's not so nice. But my son, he wanted to eat the 100 grand bar in his trick-or-treat bag. But I really wanted that 100 grand bar. So I just told him he was allergic to it. And my friend's daughter, who's 5, 2 years older than my son, goes, what is he allergic to? And I go, nothing, Lily. I'm lying. About it. I'm lying to him. I lie to my child. And Jackie goes, I don't lie to my children. I go, well, that works for you in this
yeah.
one. But I'm lying over here left and right.
You have to.
For breakfast. Why not? That's just an arbitrary rule. I'm making up. It's arbitrary. Really, what does it matter if I let him have the Twix at 10 a.m. or 1 p.m.? Real, what is the difference? It's just arbitrary rules we've made up in this society, right?
It's true.
That's fine. But
it does also make it more special when you become an adult and you're like, I can eat this whole package of Oreos at 10 a.m. if I want to.
I do, and I have done that. But yeah, so sir, if your whole job, if the reason they haven't axed you in the face yet is because you're not supposed to be telling anybody anything, you need to become a better liar. Also, quick question, whose transmission was this fellow working on?
Yeah, like none of these guys. They're not driving anywhere.
I'm very confused.
That's a good question.
Does he just like, was he like, and we, once again, we don't see it, but was Malachi like, hey, they're coming, so act like you're very busy. Does he just keep this truck out up there to right. act like when people
were a hammer? I don't know. This looks like he's doing something.
I can't help you.
And what were they, also, what were they like, eating, just eating corn? Like, how are they?
All the corn. Just all the corn.
Just raw corn, just right off the stalk. I guess that'll keep you alive. I wouldn't want to be alive.
Cooking it.
Huh?
They're probably cooking it.
I don't want to be alive if all I'm eating is corn.
I don't. Oh, neither.
neither. I already don't even like corn, so the idea of only being able to eat corn, ugh. And they didn't even do it, like, Mexican style, like, with the butter and the...
Well, that's then, so good.
Yeah, that maybe I could deal with.
Forever? No.
No, not forever. I would deal with it for like a week, and then I'd be like, I'm out. I need Burger King. I need McDonald's. I need
something. I tell you that if Alicia was in the town, Isaac's plan wouldn't even gotten off the ground. Like, how did he convince all these kids? Not a single... Well...
That's what I'm saying. That's like, I would have liked to have seen that. Like, I would have liked yeah. if they had opened with the killing.
Right.
And I usually don't like this, which is a...
You're not a huge fan of flashbacks.
No, not when I don't like it. Now it's become a crutch, and movies think that that makes it more interesting, where it's like, let's show this crazy situation, and then we'll flash back to 7 years earlier. Like, now it's just become like a... Like, your story's just not interesting if we have to open with that.
Gotcha.
This is one time where I would have liked to have had it open with that, and then said 6 months before, or seen what led up to the how we got to that point.
Gotcha.
But you, yeah, usually now they just use it and it's like, ugh, okay, we get it. Like, and I can always tell when that's going to happen, when it opens with something crazy. They did it in Only Murders in the Building. And I was like, oh no, I saw it when it opened.
I
was like,
haven't seen that yet.
That's a good show. I like Steve Martin and Martin Short, obviously. They're classic.
Yes. No, I do agree with you that that's a big... question mark. Obviously, they know Job and Sarah wouldn't have gone along with it. That's why those two knew nothing.
Yeah.
So.
And again, and I don't always need answers, but that's just one thing where I'm like,
That's a huge hole.
I'd like to know how this even got to this point. Like, what? How did it get here?
My guess would, I have no guesses.
As a writer and a reader, that to me would have been the most intriguing part of it.
And to be fair, I haven't read the short story in a long time, but I don't think I remember that. Now yeah. I want to read the short story.
If you do, then let us know next week. Read it by then. Yeah. But yeah, that's just one situation where I feel like the lead up to that would have been the most intriguing part of the story.
Yes. So now they get to town. I'm sorry. I see that cafe. You know what I'm doing? I'm getting the fuck out of Catlin.
What's the name right here?
Something ain't right.
Because the man didn't say it's abandoned.
No.
So there are people here in their mind, as far as they know, there are people here and they let it get. And there's corn. Corn doesn't just grow.
I give those kids credit, though. They cleaned up those bodies and blood real good in that diner.
Right? Because there weren't any bodies.
Just saying. Nobody. Oh, I just had a horrible thought.
What?
What if that's what they're eating?
Oh.
Okay.
Not the human meat.
What? Breathe that through. Sorry, guys.
No. Wait, but do we know how long it was between that opening scene and the couple?
Let's look and see if Wiki has any answers for us there.
Again, love all the actors. Everyone was great. I just wish that I liked it. I wish that I was like really into it. I'm just not. I was expecting it to, because with that opening set a high bar for me.
Right.
So to go from that to then, like, it felt like nothing really happened. As far as scary for a horror movie, it's like, oh, well, no. It's just creepy kids in a cornfield, basically. Also, the religious.
3 years. It is 3 years.
Oh, wow.
I thought it had been a significant time period, not like a few months. So for 3 years.
That's a long time. But the boy looked exactly, the kids looked exactly the same.
Don't worry. Isaac still looks like that. John, you're doing great. Don't ever change.
No, the two little kids looked exact. Like, they're at that age where they would look significantly older.
Yeah, no worries.
Or at 3 years.
That's a continuity issue. You needn't concern yourself.
don't worry about that part. We're not talking about that part.
Just ignore that.
I think the other thing that threw me off is the little boy is the narrator in the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's got, like, this happy, like he's just telling this story. And I'm just like, what tone are we setting here? Because, first of all, we know the boy lives because he's telling this story. Second of all, he's just, it's kind of like a, oh, back in this one day, this happened. And I was just like, you don't sound like you're telling the story of a mass murder happening.
That's what I love.
Huh?
That's what I love.
Oh, I
heard that.
Threw me off. And again, like I said, just knowing that, well, it's like, well, we know he lives because he's telling the story. And then all of a sudden his narration just stops.
Because the interlopers come.
So he was telling.
By the way, don't play the drinking game where somebody says outlier or interloper. You'll die.
Outlanders. Yeah.
You will die.
Mm-hmm.
That one girl, Rachel, says interloper. Like, 5 times in the matter of 1 minute conversation with Bert.
Yeah.
And now, I don't know if they say this in the movie, if, gotta tell you, the kid was running around while I was watching this, but she is pregnant with Amos's child.
Wait, who, the crazy chick?
Not sure if it's said in the movie. It is said in the book. She is,
With child. And Amos is the one that had the thing carved in his chest.
Yeah, that he is turning 19 and it's his birthday. Yeah.
And he's excited to be killed.
Yes.
that's how you know the devil don't mean no good for you. When he's like, yeah, it's time for you to die.
Right.
I'm not about that plan.
No.
And it's weird because he convinced all these kids who were raised by what seemed like normal people. So how was he able to convince them that this was the way?
So apparently it had something to do with the crops failing.
Okay.
Because Job alludes to the fact that they're... And Job alludes to the fact that he was never allowed to hang out with Isaac and Malachi. Like, his father knew. My thought process is that maybe somehow with the crops failing, he was able to say, you know, guys, it's going to come down to who's going to live. When we run out of food, if we get rid of them now, we can survive forever. And it just kind of spiraled out of there. Don't you agree?
I'm saying that's totally plausible. That would just be nutty. That'd be a nutty reason to be like, yes, I'm going to off my parents because we're going to run out of food.
There's no good reason to off your parents. So any reason that we're pulling out of thin air here this evening, Jen, is going to be nutty.
Yeah. No, I hear you. It's just,
you flip that hair, Jen. You flip it. Give that a thought, girl.
Yeah.
But so now the interlopers or the outlanders are in the town. They have found Sarah and Job. And he leaves. Bert leaves to go try to find a parent. If I were Sarah and Job, this is the moment, kiddos. This is the moment. You say, listen, can we get in your car and can we get out of crazy town right the fuck now? Go, sir. There are no parents. There's no way. Right. There's just a bunch of murdering kids and we got to get the fuck
out. They go in the house and the little girl's sitting there and she's like, oh, there are, like, I'm like, you guys aren't asking enough questions, first of all.
Yeah, she says there's no adults. Sweetheart, what does that mean?
Yeah, and they assumed Isaac was an adult. They assumed Isaac was an adult. She's like, Isaac told them. I'd be like, who is Isaac?
Yeah, how old is Isaac?
How old is Isaac?
This is the problem when you give children adult Bible names. They all just sound elderly.
Don't do it. If somebody said TJ's in charge, I'd be like, how the fuck old is TJ?
Exactly. Don't worry, because TJ thusly thinks he's in charge. Today he goes to me, we get Burger King, we no get Taco Bell. Really?
Oh, you're just making decisions now?
As you can see, clearly, he won.
I'm so petty, and I will be petty with my children. We'd get Taco Bell just because you said... just because you said that, now we're getting Taco Bell. I'm petty and mean.
You're a cut off your nose despite your face kind of woman, aren't you?
I am. I could have been craving Taco Bell. Oh, speaking of, when we went to Halloween Horror Nights, we go to Universal. Sorry, side quest. We go to Universal City Walk because we're going to get something to eat before we go in. They're like, let's go to Taco Bell. We go to Taco Bell. I look at the menu. It is $5 for a taco at Taco Bell in City Walk.
Soft taco? One soft taco?
One taco. Just one. I was like, not.
The stuffed taco large soda combo is $4.35.
This is why I hate.
I order that combo a lot.
I hate franchises in these kind of setups. I'm like, this is not. First of all, it's not authentic. As authentic as fast food can be, you know that it's like they're cutting corners there.
Right.
And also, I was like, nope, I'm not paying $5 for a Taco Bell taco. That's just, I physically wouldn't be able to do it. And they'd be like, it's going to be $5. And I'd be like, No. So we went to another spot because I was like, I physically cannot pay $5 for one Taco Bell taco. I don't care what size it is. I don't care. No, not happening. But there were people in line. It was a long line. I got a Pink's taco. We got Pink's hot dogs instead.
Oh, I've heard good talk.
Oh, Pink's, yeah, I've been to the original Pink's on La Brea, but they have a franchise in Universal City Walk. Also more expensive, but I got a huge chili cheese hot dog and a drink for $12. I was like, that, I at least don't feel like I got cheated. If I pay $5 and I eat one little taco, I'm going to be upset.
Right. No.
I was full after the hot dogs. So I was like, okay, at least I got my money's worth.
Yeah.
All right, back to the movie. Sorry.
Back to this. No. our listening audience, namely Chris and Joel, have come to love and appreciate our tangents. Also, Chris lovingly found out today that I remember almost nothing because he texted me something that I said in the Halloween episode today, and I was like, what are you even talking about?
And he's
I'm like, sir.
You probably remember what we've talked about better than we do, because after we hit stop recording, everything that we just said, no idea what we talked about.
I'd be one of those comedians where no two sets would even be remotely similar, because I could have remembered the set from one night.
Or they would be exactly the same, because I wouldn't remember that I said it already.
Either way, I'll tell you, I got an A in my extemporaneous speaking class in college. I was like, number one. And then in my like main speech class, she's like, Alicia, it was like 2 weeks before the end of the semester. She's like, can you just give me a couple of outlines, please, so I can give you an A? I'm like, okay. I hate outlines.
I hate them.
I don't like thinking about what I'm going to say.
Me either.
Go off the cuff.
I just want to go. That's why when I learned that stand-up comedians, like, actually do know what they're going to say, like, that turned me off of it. I was like, damn it, you mean actually that you're right? Like, I thought they just went up there and just were saying stuff. But no, they write it and they practice
it. They tweak it and they practice it.
Oh, my God. I was like, damn it. Well, that's not for me then. That's why our show is where... So our show is what it is, because neither of us like to plan what we talk about. That makes perfect sense. That's why our show runs the way it does, because neither of us want to plan. We're not ready. We didn't even have IMDb up when we start the show. Like, we still have to go to the app. We know we're gonna talk about the movie. I don't know why we don't.
The poor thing is, I've met Fritz, Courtney, John, and John, and I was still like, let me look that up.
I don't know if you are right. We plan nothing. We watch the movie and then we come here.
Nice little behind the movie magic. I texted Jen this morning and go, is today Children of the Corn or Scary Stories?
How prepared we are.
You know what?
We got a taste of during Leprechaun because.
Right.
We watched two different movies and didn't know until we were recording.
A mistake anyone could have made.
Didn't know until we were recording.
And of them, it's fine.
Hilarious. We tried though that day. You wouldn't know it, but we did. We thought we were on the same page. It just didn't happen. But yes.
Well, the best is when you said, "Was this his first time meeting black people?" And I go, "There was like, a single black person." And that woman we knew.
We were like, "Wait a minute.
Two different
movies." If you have not listened to that episode, you should at least. Listen to it just to hear us figure out that we watched two different movies.
Two different
movies. And we didn't cut it. We left it in there. I was like, well, this is the show.
We could have just chosen not to record.
No.
Claim technical difficulties. But no, for
that's
you guys.
We roll. We're real. We're the realists.
A lot of authenticity here.
Transparency. If you want transparency in a podcast, if you want transparency, you come here.
Yeah.
We'll lay it all out there.
Okay.
All right.
In the movie. Oh. So Malachi has Linda Hamilton.
Yeah.
And he is using her to draw Bert out. He's baiting Bert. And now Linda's tied up. Amos is getting ready to be tied up. And Malachi decides this is his moment. And Isaac's getting tied up. Okay, well. Things have transpired.
Escalated.
A little fight in them. But poor Isaac is, as we previously told you, a foot shorter than the gentleman that plays Malachi. And then Courtney. And Malachi gets the better of Isaac. as you would assume most 18-year-olds will get the better of a 12-year-old. That's their ages, respectively, 12 and 18. So how, once again, how Isaac even convinced Malachi for this long?
Right.
Because you have to assume that they were at least meeting for 2 to 3 months prior to the murder.
Right, right.
Just is that a 3.5-year span?
I feel like with cults,
that's... children have been listening to Isaac.
Right. I feel like with cults, though, once that start, like, it's hard to try to usurp that. Like, you kind
of
gotta...
of cults, also on HBO Max, have you watched The Way Down about Gwen Shamblin and Revelyn Church? She's the one with the huge hair.
Oh, no, I have not.
Ooh, do it. Very good. Very weird. Oof. Listen, guys, if you're... pastor, preacher, spiritual leader tries to sell you weight loss books, find a new church. Just a little tip for me to you. Also, guys, if you want to listen to some great podcasting about cults, go over to Dan Cummings' Time Suck. He does a bunch of the cults. He's fantastic. He really delves deep. Also, people have told me that The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City is a real eye-opener on the Mormonism, so head on over to that, too, if you have any interest in that. Also, apparently in Utah, there is a loophole with the tax law in which if a portion of your house is unfinished, you don't pay taxes on it until your house is fully finished. So all across these, like, big...
I would have the Winchester house. I would just not... just keep building. Just build random windows. Just keep...
The Winchester... Going. Yeah. They'll just have one part that's constantly being worked on. Like, there won't be a floor in one room or something.
Yeah. That's how the Winchester house goes. That's what would be happening. I'd be like, oh, okay. Well, we're not done yet.
No.
I still have this open hole. It doesn't have a window pane in it.
Darn it. So now we get to just the apex of the movie. Everybody's in the field. And Isaac's up there. They haven't gotten Amos up there yet. Bert comes in. Once again, tries to convince the others that this is not the way. They see he who walks amongst the rows get into Isaac.
That was creepy. His scream, that was he's getting hacked up in it.
Yeah. A lot of eating. And all of a sudden, here comes Isaac. Looking a little worse for wear.
Oh, yeah, he's a little tore up from the floor up. Just a little bit. I looked up and I was like, oh, baby Jesus.
Woman to look away for a second.
Yeah.
Him and Malachi start going at it again. And that'll be the last we see of them. Bert and Job get all the other kids into the farmhouse.
Yeah.
And Bert is now pressing Job. And listen, at this point, the other kids ran. Maybe Job shouldn't be your go-to at this point. He's 8. Yeah. Maybe we reach out to one of the 17-year-olds and be like, hey, you seem to also no longer be down with this plan now that there's a way out. Could you perhaps help me burn this up?
Right.
I don't really trust an 8-year-old with explosives.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
I mean, he did ask him to go get hoses and stuff.
Yeah. But Job, I gotta tell you, kudos, little man. Zero fear. So Bert, bad thrower. That's why he's a doctor, not playing for the Mets.
He said, throw it right.
Yeah. So Joe runs his little tiny legs out, gets it again, just as the thing who walks behind the rows is about to get them, hands it to him, and goes, throw it right this time.
I was like, yes. That was hilarious. Yes. Like, throw it right this time. Throw it.
I was like,
what are you doing? Throw it right. I'd be like, excuse me? but I had nothing to say because he was correct. I did not throw it correctly, so.
And boom, it all goes off. Now, some of that had to be recreated in studio because not all of the tanks that they had rigged up went off. Yeah. There was a lot of afterblasts. A lot of things happened with that shot. So, and now we come to the end. He who walked behind the rose is presumably dead. And Sarah and Job are standing there just looking super adorable. And
they took this in stride. Like, they were like, we took care of it. We killed it. It's fine. They weren't traumatized. They were like, I guess we'll just keep on choking.
Yeah. So, and then Bert and Linda decide they're just taking these kids home.
Yeah. They're like, for a week. How about a month? And so you know that they're going to adopt them. Aw.
Yeah. They're staying forever. Yeah. You even saw it on Bert's face. And listen, Bert is a rich-ass doctor. He can adopt all the kids. It's fine.
Well, you know he's a doctor. He stated that throughout the entire movie. Like, There's no mistaking. If I remember nothing else from that movie, I remember that Bert is a doctor. Because
I'm like, sir, I don't think anyone cares. They're following he who walks behind the road.
Bert finds a way to work
with presumably people that you think they care about your medical credentials.
Bert finds a way to work that into every situation. He's one of those people at a party that'll be like, oh, this punch reminds me of the blood that I saw when I was in medical school. I'm a doctor now.
Exactly. So you go to itch your ear. Ooh, let me check. Maybe you have tetanus. I'm a doctor.
Hold on. I'm a doctor.
One sneeze. Oh my goodness, what are your other symptoms? I'm a doctor. You got me up.
Although in his defense, the money that you spend, I would want everyone to know that I was a doctor. So
I gotta tell you right now, if I was a doctor, I'd be one of those basic bitch doctors. My mug would say MD. I hate specialty license plate. You best believe it would can be on that.
But everybody's gonna know. The money, the time I spent.
Yes. Yeah.
We're all gonna know I'm a doctor.
The whole world.
That's Dr. Driver. Like,
yeah. So, I really enjoy this movie. It gets to me because I've always found religious zealotry, not religion, religious zealotry to be unnerving, at a minimum, scary at its maximum.
Yeah.
I mean, because when you read about the Crusades, when you read about Joan of Arc's story, I mean, even going back deep into history with religious zealotry, things got dark right quick, guys. So, or you watch Scientology and you're like, the Heaven's Gate people. Any religion that has turned over into cultism, I guess, is really where things get. I love watching a good cult documentary.
Yeah, cults, definitely. I find them intriguing. For sure.
For sure. Like I said, I thought the acting really held up. I really think...
Yeah, especially for like an 80s.
And also for such... Primarily, the cast is super young.
Yeah.
Super young. You have Linda Hamilton, and I never remember the guy who plays Bert. You have the two of them, and the old guy for 10 seconds. But those are your only adults in this. I mean, every other adult gets murdered in a few minutes. So they are inconsequential. They don't even make it on the IMDb, okay? They're just murdered person one.
They're extras, basically.
Extras. So to have such a young cast carry that kind of storyline is very good. I thought Sarah and Job were very believable. I really liked them. I think they did the most for their age that they could have in that situation. I think that Bert and Linda could have asked a few more questions. Just how old is Isaac?
Yeah.
Oh, you said Malachi. How old is he? Okay, so just basic question. Anybody in town over 19? Oh, no, he died when you turned 19. What now, you
how
say?
How did they die?
Oh, Isaac and Malachi make them sacrifice themselves. What? Okay. Pack whatever you'd like in this house. We're getting in the car right now. We're going to the next town where people might be, and we'll come back with reinforcements. Just ask in every horror movie, none of these motherfuckers are asking questions.
They don't ask the right questions. They skip over pertinent information or subtle things. And it's like, no, you need to listen to what people are saying and then respond accordingly. You're not actually listening to people.
Well, I will tell you that I now know people in real life who don't fully listen to stories. I'll give you a for instance. My boss, who's also one of my best friends and I love her dearly, she was telling me how back in the day, because some of her clients have been with her through all of her employees. They've been with her for 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. And they have said to her, I think maybe you want to have Alicia sit in on some interviews so this doesn't happen anymore. Apparently, during one interview, thank the good Lord that her fiance was with her, because the woman was talking about how she used to be a prostitute and had spent time in jail, presumably for prostitution. And I have no problem with prostitution if the state you're living in allows it. But if it's not, you're breaking the law.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if I agree with the law or not. That's
it's
not
the law. Point. And you're breaking
you
a law.
Are telling me you're breaking a law and that you're comfortable enough not only breaking a law, but telling people that you
break a job. And at a job.
At a job interview. It's not like we're out at the club doing shots and you're like, oh, I make my money by sucking dick. No, it's not what happened. Apparently, somehow, my boss missed that. Because her fiance goes, sir, she was an interesting interview. And Rachel's like, yeah, I think with some tweaking, she could be a good employee. And Tony goes, so you missed the prostitution and incarceration? Yeah. And Rachel goes, when did she say that? And now I know.
Wow.
So now I know that, unfortunately, my best friend Rachel will be one of the first to die in a horror movie.
Yeah, does not pay attention at all.
Wow. I'm getting her right quick.
Damn.
Love it. It's my favorite story.
So she's one of those, that's crazy. Like, she just responds with that.
That's crazy. I'm like, you listen to none of that. I'll say that to her sometimes when, like, a new client will leave. I'll be like, did you hear half of that? She's like, no, what? I was too busy focused on the nails. I'm like, oh, girl.
You need to listen to these people.
Yeah, listen, that was a great story. Yeah, this one client was in talking about how she's not our client anymore, so I feel fine saying this. How she was a stripper, and this guy that's her regular client wants to bring her down to Florida because he can't bring her to his house in Connecticut because that's where his wife lives.
Wow.
I'm like, what is happening here?
Stories you guys hear. I can't even.
But see, once again,
it's when, like, a confession booth or a bartender. Like,
here's what I think. You all think it's nice to marry a rich man. Rich men have the means to hide their mistresses everywhere.
Sprinkle.
Marry a nice, listen, you want somebody who works and works hard. Marry a nice middle of the road man. You guys can afford
a second house.
But not the lives of multiple other people being in all over the great land.
Every man is capable. You just got to find the one that isn't financially capable.
It's a matter of means.
They'd all do it. Don't get it twisted. They'd all do it.
So you want somebody not super lazy, but, like, not motivated enough to try to keep that many stories straight. Awesome.
That part.
Yeah. Like, that's my job.
I can't even imagine.
Ed says to me, he's like, that's not, like, we'll hear those stories or something. He'll be like, sounds like a lot of energy. I'm like, yeah.
Gotta keep your shit straight. You gotta remember where you were last week. Gotta remember what you said you were gonna be doing last week. You'd have to keep, like, a journal, like a whole chart of things. No, I don't have time for that.
Guys, Jen and I, we can't even remember what movie we're gonna record, so neither one of us are cheating on you, because we can't keep a single story.
Don't have that capacity.
at all.
Actually,
and if I tried, you would know immediately because I would fail. I
do not have good poker faces. As reasoned when I said, ooh, they might be eating the people, and Jen made that face. No poker face. She was like,
no. It's all right here.
All right here. So next week is going to be Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, another fun, fabulous fall favorite.
Yes. Oh, that was a lot of alliteration. I liked it.
Did you?
Fall fabulous, fun favorite. Yeah. I did like that one. I've only seen it once in theaters. I remember thinking it was okay, but I do want to watch it again. And
well, I remember loving the book. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the books. I have. My brother brought me the whole, all three books, like in one book.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. I'll show it when we come on next week.
That is good.
So creepy. That was one of our library staples.
Yeah. Somebody asked me the other day, and they were like, so what's like a good horror book for a fourth grader? And I was like, well, I read Carrie. And they're like, Alicia, no. I was like, I hear a good buzz about something called Goosebumps. I was like, I don't know.
Like, yeah. I'm not the one to ask. People are like, what should I watch for my four-year-old? I have no idea, because at four, I was watching Nightmare on Elm Street and Halloween. Right. So I'm not a good...
It was so funny because my friend, her son, who's 12, had the Purge mask for Halloween. And I was like, has Tyler seen the Purge? And he's like, no. I'm like, TJ has. And Ed goes, he's seen the Purge. I go, well, not the original. He saw Election Year when it came out. I think that was like 2008. I think he was sitting on my lap while I was like watching that. He was an infant. He's fine.
Yeah.
Still one of the favorite, my favorite TJ moment. I was watching a Buffy episode. And it's the episode where the big, not body shaming, this man was not pudgy. He was grotesquely large. That was his whole thing. His whole thing, he was like some sort of gluttony demon, just like
pushing
himself on souls. So just rolls upon rolls, but also the demon wore no clothing. So just imagine, just roll, just out like, there. And they oiled the rolls to keep him shiny. It was just not appealing. And he kind of had like a smushy nose. He was a demon, okay?
Yeah.
I'm gross. Not shaming a demon, everyone.
That's a demon, and he's gross. He's disgusting.
2 seconds later, they had David Boreanaz take his shirt off. All was right with the world again. It was fine. But TJ walks in. He was in his other room watching Blippi or something, and goes, ew, and turns around and just walks back. I was like, is that gross? Very.
That's amazing.
He was like not scared, not nothing, just like not pleasing to the eye sockets, mama.
It's like, all right. So now you know what to put on whenever you want time alone. That episode on. TJ will be on his way.
Once again, guys, you can find us. Oh.
Right, how many heels?
How many heels? You go.
it's gonna be low for me. It's gonna be like a 5.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, guys, it was a little higher. And now that Jen has pointed out all these... Oh! The major plot hole I meant to bring up about old dude. We learned why the kids kept him around. What we never learned is why he just didn't hightail it out of fucking town.
I guess he had solid work. I don't know if they were paying him enough. They had no source of income, so I have no idea why he didn't just leave.
Just hightail it. Just get the fuck out. You take you and your adorable dog.
In his ways, I don't know.
Yeah, that was a plot hole that I did not enjoy. So at 7. And I wonder if the loveliness of Fritz, John, and Courtney has bumped that up because they're so lovely. And I did enjoy, for me, acting can really, like I said, I think part of the reason I don't enjoy Trick or Treat is because I really don't enjoy, outside of Brian Cox, a single one of those actors. Like, I truly don't. I bitch about Anna Paquin the whole time. So, whereas these, I really love the acting, even Little Job and Sarah, I thought were doing, Linda Hamilton does a great job.
Yeah.
That really bumps it up for me in terms of the whole story.
Yeah.
They were all very compelling people to watch. And then just that final scene where he's like, I knocked her out cold. What should we do with her? And Linda
Hamilton, oh boy. Like, he knocks her out. He's like, oh boy.
Get well card from LA.
Seattle. Let's go.
Let's go.
That was a great answer.
The car and let's go.
I love when he's like, oh boy. Like, you just knocked out a teenager. He's like, oh boy. What a funny reaction.
If I knock out a teenager that's coming to me with a sight, fuck you.
Lucky she only got knocked out. I would have probably tried to kill you had that not worked.
Here's the thing, though. I think if they had let it be known in the movie that she's pregnant, her craziness makes a lot more sense. As a woman who was pregnant one time,
yes,
I understand the hormones.
Definitely would have more of a
reason for that. Yeah. Yes. Well, how did you think they were getting more kids?
Fair.
Like,
I didn't think about it.
Yeah, you didn't, did you?
No.
And now you're sad you are.
Yeah.
Teenagers are horny anyway. Just saying.
Yeah, they are.
Generally. Even super religious teenagers, I guess.
Probably, no, they're the most because they're trying to not be. They don't accept it and embrace it, so.
Yeah.
Trying to suppress that stuff.
I've heard a lot of stories about anal.
I mean, not that it's a bad thing, but it's just
that a lot of very religious ladies will allow that before.
Which I don't understand.
I don't.
I don't understand. Like, no.
That's how that works.
Yeah, not at all.
No.
Not how any of this works.
Anytime that a penis that willingly, when you willingly engage, not even penis, just any sort of fornication, willingly, willful fornication, occurs between you and another person, you are no longer a virgin.
Yeah, you can't skirt around, like.
You can't skirt rules like this.
Yeah.
That's like saying, I'm a vegan, but then saying, but chicken don't count. That's not that means. No, I'm sorry.
You are in fact not vegan.
You are in fact not vegan. Yeah, they made all these different rules for it now. Oh, I'll eat fish. I'm a pescatarian. I'll eat this. I'm a this.
Yeah. I just eat all of it.
Yeah.
It's easier that way.
You and I are what they consider omnivores.
Yes, I'm an omnivore to the max. Love it.
Love it.
I love my choice. Love my life.
Mm-hmm.
I eat anything. I can eat anywhere.
You know what Halloween candy I had yesterday that I don't buy often enough for myself? Twix. Why did I forget how fantastic a Twix is?
I love Twix. That was like my candy. I'm
sleeping on the Twix.
Oh my God. That's second. Twix was second to Reese's. Like,
see, the thing is, I'm not the hugest chocolate person. But the good thing about the Twix is it's actually very
a lot of chocolate. It's just a coating of chocolate.
It's a coating.
A caramel and a cookie. And it's
fantastic. If you haven't had the Twix in a while, I highly suggest, guys.
I love Twix. Love them. Like I said, second to Reese's Pieces. Not Reese's Pieces. I hate Reese's Pieces. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Difference.
Well, you had to say. So some people had like bowls or like little bags out. And whenever TJ would come back with something that wasn't the Reese's Pieces peanut butter cups, but he could see there were Reese's peanut butter cups. He's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, stop. I'm like, come back with 100 grands. 100 grands are one of my favorite, too. Ooh, I love 100 grand.
Yeah.
It's like a crackle with caramel. It's fantastic.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I've had it before, but I don't remember it.
It's like the little Rice Krispies. Like, it's caramel-coated. Okay,
yeah. That sounds familiar. I'm sure I liked it, because I love Rice Krispies, so.
Yeah. So, everybody, you guys know, you can find us everywhere at Horror in Heels. Please, shoot us a line, a message.
Yeah.
Tell us what you like, what you don't.
We put questions on on our anchor now. You can answer.
Yeah.
Talk to us.
Speak to us. That is all good time. And that is all for this week. Next week, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. And we'll catch you on the flip side. Bye.